what we will do now is begin the Torah portion. Of course, that means I will say what I always do. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is the ninth verse of chapter 29 of the book of Devarim, or Deuteronomy. And I will say up front, this is not only one of my favorite Torah portions, it's one that I frequently refer to as among the most important in the book, because it includes some really amazing stuff that is quite a refutation of what I would call whore churchianity. The fact that nobody but Jesus could keep the law, you shouldn't even try, in other words, and you've probably heard something along those lines. The truth of the matter is, he says it's not too hard for you, and that's in here. But it's also true that in here we see the most cogent, I would say, two-word summary of the Torah in the book. And that's the one where it says, choose life. And we'll get to all of that here in just a minute. But the portion begins, as I mentioned, in Deuteronomy 29, verse 9. And it says, and this is an interesting verb here, you are standing. And it's called the Nephal conjugation. And basically, it literally means you all have positioned yourselves. Now, what's interesting to me, and I usually emphasize this at least just a bit, this term we're going to see up front here is going to appear a number of times. Ha-yom. Ha, the day. Yom. Okay, so it's really this. This is all happening on this day, and what he said is you are positioning. You are all standing this day before Yehoyarel, you, your heads, your tribes, your elders, your officers, even all the men of Israel. And that word Hayom appears fully seven times just in chapter 29, and another seven times in chapter 30. So it seems to be important. And the reason why I think it's interesting, of course, is because they were standing there on that this day. And each of us, wherever we are, whenever we're reading this, we can still read it in the current tense and say, yep, it applies this day. And that's what's so interesting about this day and this introduction. So all of these folks are standing on this day, as are we. You, your little ones, your wives, your stranger that's in the midst of your camp, from the guy who hews your wood to the one that draws your water, that you should enter into the covenant of Yahuwah Yirel, and unto his oath, which Yahuwah Yirel makes with you, Hayom, this day, that he might establish himself, Hayom, and you, this day, unto himself for a people, that he may be unto you a God, as he spoke unto you, and as he swore to your fathers, right, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And not only, and here's the key, this is why I emphasize the Hayom part, not only, says Moses, am I making this covenant and this oath with you all, Hayom, this day, but all these other folks, him that stands here with us this day before Yahuwah, and also him that is not here with us, Hayom. And I will suggest that includes us, all of us who were not there then, but we are here, Hayom, this day. For you know how we dwelt on the land of Mitzrayim, Egypt, how we came through the midst of the nations through which you all passed, and you've seen their detestable things, their fake idols, their idols of wood and stone, silver and gold, things that they had with them, lest there should be among you a man or a woman or a family or a tribe whose heart turns away, Hayom, this day, from Yahuwah Arel, to go and try to serve the various gods of those nations, lest there be among you a root that bears gall and wormwood. And it comes to pass, when he hears the words of this curse, that he'll bless himself in his heart, right? Oh, that doesn't apply to me. That's somebody else. I, it says, shall have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my own heart, that the watered be swept away with the dry. Yahuwah will not be willing to pardon him. But then will the anger of Yahuwah and his jealousy be kindled against that man, and all the curse that is written in this book shall lie upon him, and Yahuwah shall, here's a serious one, blot out his name from under heaven. And Yahuwah shall separate him, this person, unto evil from out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that is written in this book of the Torah. And the generation to come, your children that will rise up after you, and the foreigner that will come from a far land and shall say, when they see all the plagues of that land, and the sickness wherewith Yahuwah has made it sick, that the whole land thereof is literally sulfur, brimstone, and salt, and burning, that it's not sown, nor is it bare, and nor does any grass grow therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma Zeboim, which Yahuwah overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all the nations which say, hey, where is this Yahuwah, and why has he done that unto this land? What means the heat of this great anger? Well, says Moshe, it's that point at which men will say, because they forsook the covenant of Yahuwah, the Elohim of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. And this is not like we haven't heard this before, but he is emphasizing it in no uncertain terms. And furthermore, he says, they went and they served other gods, worshipped gods that they knew not. Now, the interesting word is, the word here is yada, right? Remember the old joke line from, I believe it was Seinfeld, yada, yada, yada? Means, I know, I know, I know. Okay, or to know. And it's a special kind of knowing. It's an in-depth, experiential, first-hand. As in, Adam yadded his wife. So it says here, these are gods that they did not yada. And by the way, it's the plural form, so it's a yadaim, that he had not allotted unto them. So these are fake gods. Therefore, the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curse that's written in this book. And Yahuwah rooted them out of their land in anger, and in wrath, and in great indignation. And he cast them into another land, as it is, ready? Hayom, this day. And that is still true as well, folks. We are still in exile, Hayom, this day. The secret things, the chapter concludes, belong unto Yahuwah our El. But the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this Torah. Now, at that point, we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I want to say it again. I think if people have any doubts about what it is that separates a Torah-obedient, if you will, first-century Christian, a return to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh understanding from the vast majority of waystream Christianity, it's right here in this chapter. And I can't overemphasize that. Because there are so many things we've heard, right? Nobody can keep the law. Well, that is absolute bull, you know what. And here's the reason why. It's out here in no uncertain terms. And furthermore, only Jesus could keep the law. Well, no, that's not what it says. And Paul, by the way, quotes this himself. But it goes like this. Now, also in this chapter, we're going to see one of what I think are the most uplifting prophecies of this greater Exodus. And it's probably the first and most clear that we see in Scripture. So the greater Exodus is outlined in here as well. We're going to see that right off the top. It'll come to pass, he says, when all of these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I've set before you, and you bethink yourself among all the nations where Yahuwah your El has driven you. So here we are, exactly as he said, driven out through all these other places outside the land in exile. And then, here's the part that's interesting. It's not a statement with any weasel words or room to wiggle in it. It says, you shall return. There it is, folks. We shall return, shuv, make teshuva, unto Yahuwah our El, and hearken to his voice according to all that I command you, hayom, this day, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, and then that Yahuwah your El will shuv, turn, your captivity, and have compassion upon you, and will return and gather you from all the peoples, all the places, whither Yahuwah your El has scattered you. So no matter where you are, he will regather us. Now, if any of us, it says, or you all, are dispersed unto the uttermost parts of heaven, well, wherever you are, from there will Yahuwah your El gather you, and from there will he fetch you. And Yahuwah your El will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall, in fact, possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply you all above your fathers. Now, what is interesting about this, too, a number of things are fascinating about this, but, you hear all of this stuff in mainstream Christianity, oh, die, we're going to go to heaven, right? And there's all this prophecy. One of the things that I don't hear much talk about, but I would say is that the essence of the real prophetic understanding of where we are and what's going to happen is this verse. Wherever you are, when this happens, I'm going to come get you. And I will fetch you, and Yahuwah will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed. And we will possess it. Now, this is a promise, folks. He says there will come a time, and I believe and pray that it's a time we will see it in our physical bodies. Maybe some of us won't, but one way or the other we'll see it. But it's a physical possession of the land. There's no doubt about it when you read the text. That's precisely what it says. He will do you good, multiply you above all your fathers. And Yehuyarel will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love Yehuyarel with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. And Yehuyarel will put all these curses upon your enemies, on those that hate you, that persecuted you. And you shall return and hearken to the voice of Yahuwah and do all of his commandments which I command you, what? Hayom, this day. And Yehuyarel will make you overabundant in all the work of your hand and the fruit of your body and the fruit of your cattle. Notice this sounds a lot like the blessings that we saw in chapter 28, the blessings and the cursings. Overabundant in all these things, the fruit of your body, your cattle, the fruit of your land, for good. And Yahuwah will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. Here we go. Eam, right? Or actually, in this case, the word is not eam. It's key, that. So the requirement is that we do what? You know it. Shema Israel. Shamar. And it's in the future tense. If you shall hearken, or when you shall hearken. It's actually that you shall hearken is what's going to be a requirement. That you hearken, Shamar, to the voice of Yehuyarel, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the Torah. Which ones? Well, you know, all of them, the ones he wrote for us in genuine print. This is the part that's amazing, folks. It's not hard. Yeshua, as you know, said in Matthew 5 in his very first public address, I'm not changing it, not one yod or tittle. He didn't. Anybody that says he did is a liar and the truth is not in him. And here it is. He is reiterating it. And we're going to see the what I would call the sarcastic, destructive put-down of anybody that says it's too hard for you to do it. So, if you will, or that you will hearken to the voice of Yehuyarel, to do what? To keep his commandments and his statutes written in this book of the Torah. If you turn, and it's actually that again, it's key, that you shuv unto Yehuyarel with all your heart and with all your soul. And here we go. So listen to this carefully. I got this outlined with a great big wow written in the margin in my study and teaching Bible here. For this commandment, he says, which I command you, Hayom, this day. Well, guess what? It's not too hard for you. So, full stop, right? How many times, I guarantee you, I've heard it taught. I've heard whore preachers, and that's the term I'm going to use because they're liars and the truth is not in them. Nobody but Jesus could keep the law. It's too hard for you. Well, excuse me. He just said it. It's not too hard for you. Guess who we ought to believe? This commandment which I command you this day is not too hard for you, nor is it far off. And now he's going to get almost sarcastic. And I do like to read this sarcastically because that is how we ought to see it. Because we've heard all kinds of crap that is not true, and this refutes every bit of it. It's not up in heaven that you need to say, oh, who will go up to heaven and bring it back to us? So make us hear it that we may do it. Nope, it's not. Nor is it beyond the sea that you need to say, oh, who will go over across the sea for us and bring it to us and make us hear it so that we may do it? None of that. The word, in fact, he says, right, it's not too hard for you. It's very nigh unto you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart that you may do it. So again, any preacher in the whore church tells you, you can't do it. Only Jesus could keep the law. He is, in fact, no doubt about it, a liar, and the truth is not in him. Because Yah says you can, and you may, and you should. And when you do, you're finally going to be ready for what it is that we've been waiting for so long. The regathering, the greater Exodus. The word is very nigh to you, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart, that you may do it. Again, no doubt about it. And here we go. This is one of the two restatements of this concept. We're going to see it in four verses here. See, he says, or behold, re'eh, I have set before you Hayom, this day, life and blessing, or death and cursing. Life and good, death and evil. You'll see it rendered in different ways, but good and bad, life and blessing, death and cursing. It's a choice. And then I command you, Hayom, to love Yehuyarel, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, then you shall live and multiply, and Yehuyarel shall bless you in the land when you or whither you go in to possess it. Now we know that, in fact, they went into the land, failed, and got kicked out. And that's why we're still in exile. And here's the rest of the warning. But if your heart turns away and you won't hear, and instead you're drawn away and you worship other gods and serve them, I declare unto you, Hayom, you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days upon the land that you go in to possess across the Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you. Hayom. Now here it is. This, folks, is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And I'm going to suggest again, vitally important. Here's one that you might want to memorize, but you certainly need to be able to look it up and understand it. Because essentially, these are the same two witnesses. Moshe calls them. And you'll notice in Matthew chapter 5, Yeshua calls them. And they're called other places too. But these are the two witnesses that Yeshua says, hey, as long as heaven and earth still exist, this is true. None of it, not one yod or tittle is going to pass away from the Torah. And here it is. I call heaven and earth, those same two witnesses, to witness against you, Hayom, that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, here it is. This is what I would also call, sometimes jokingly, but it's not, the most important open book test in the Bible. Right? Here it is. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live. Life and blessing, death and cursing, simple choice. So, choose life. To love Yehuyarel, to hearken to his voice, to cleave unto him. For that is your life, the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which Yahuwah swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And there, folks, ends the portion. And it's actually, it's a fairly short portion tonight. Essentially, not quite even two chapters. But when it comes to meat, when it comes to some of the most important, central, and denied by much of the Hoar Church chapters in the book, there you have it. This is the essence of the Torah. And again, I have suggested many times that if you're looking for a two-word summary of the book, how do we interpret things? If there seems to be a contradiction, right? It says over here I need to do this, but it's Sabbath. Or it says over here that I need to do something different. Well, folks, the response, the answer, here is the razor that we can use to rightly divide his word. Choose life. All right. Remember how Yeshua taught it? And I'll mention this and then we'll close. He says, which of you, even on the Sabbath day, if his ox goes in the ditch, isn't going to get it out? Why? Because it's choose life. It's Sabbath. We're not supposed to work, but the ox may die. This is important. Choose life. You get the ox out of the ditch. That's what he's saying. And it is utterly consistent with his word. So that shouldn't surprise us. Again, choose life that you and your descendants might live.